Okay, good morning, everyone, and as always, welcome to our shiur. The topic of today's shiur is something which is, I think, very relevant, very basic, which comes up in everyday life, and is based on a pasuk that we had in yesterday's parasha. The Torah tells us at the very beginning of Parashas Toldos the incident that Yaakov Avinu purchased the Bechora, the birthright away from Esav, in exchange for food. So the Torah says that that Yaakov Avinu was preparing, Vayozit Yaakov Nozit, that he was preparing some sort of stew, or the way it's translated loosely, kids in school are taught some sort of soups. And the pasuk proceeds to say, Yaakov Nosam LeEsav Lechem UNezid Adoshim, that Yaakov gave to Esav bread and this lentil stew, Vayochel Vayesh, etc. So I figured this would be a good opportunity to speak about the halachas of a particular area of Hilchos Brachos which is confusing, and that is the halachas that pertain to soup and particularly to vegetable soup, but hopefully we'll cover fruit soup as well, and perhaps others along the way. It's important to note that the whole inyan of saying a bracha, the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Brachos is not on the sheet, but the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kohanena min Olam Hazeh Belo Bracha Ki Unena Mikach Yishamayim. Any person who benefits from this world without reciting the bracha, so it's as if he is benefiting from Kach Yishamayim, as if he's benefiting from sacrifices that are offered to Hashem. Okay, Shenemar, as it says, Vashem Aretz Umloa. Because it says that the world belongs to Hashem, Hashem Ha'aretz Umloa. So therefore, if a person takes something from this world that and does not say a bracha, so he considers that he's taking it from Hashem. And the Gemara proceeds to say that the Gemara asks that on the one hand we have the pasuk Vashem Ha'aretz Umloa, that the world in its entirety belongs to Hashem, and then we have another pasuk that says Ha'aretz Nosan Livnei Adam, Hashemayim Shemayim Hashem Ha'aretz Nosan Livnei Adam, that is saying Hallel, which implies that the world was given to people. So on the one hand we have this idea of Hashem Ha'aretz Umloa, that the world belongs to Hashem. On the other hand, we have a pasuk, the Ha'aretz Nosan Livnei Adam, that the world was given to people. Says the Gemara, Lo Kasha Kam Kodem Bracha Kam Achar Bracha. That the difference is, before a person recites the bracha, it's considered that it's the property of Hashem. If after a person recites the bracha, then it's considered his own. And finally, the Gemara says, in this regard, it's not on the sheet, Amr Chanina Bar Papa Ko Anenim in Ha'om Hazeh Belo Bracha, that any person who derives benefit from food without reciting a bracha, so kiul gozel hakadosh baruch hu uknesus yisrael, it's considered as if he is stealing from hakadosh baruch hu, he's stealing from Hashem and from the klal yisrael. How is it considered that he's stealing from the klal yisrael? So Rashi on the Gemara says that when a person does not say a bracha, this is considered a sin. And the payback for that, min hashamayim, could be that the peros, that the produce of the world, won't grow. In other words, there could be a drought, there could be some sort of plague or whatever it may be, but the fruits and the vegetables will not grow unless the people say brachas properly. So therefore, this is the importance of brachas. This is something that I think we all are familiar with, but the idea and how deep it runs is very significant. We find elsewhere in the Chazal that the Gemara tells us that a person who wants to be considered pious, what should a person do in order to be considered a chassid, in order to be considered pious? Says the Gemara, one opinion is that l'kayim mili da'avos, that he should fulfill scrupulously that it says in Pirkei Avos. The great moral teachings in Pirkei Avos that we're all familiar with, that's what a person should strive to fulfill, and that would be considered, if a person did that very carefully, it would be considered a pious person. But then there's a second opinion in the Gemara that says, l'kayim mili da'brachos, that he should fulfill the laws of brachos. That if he fulfills the laws of brachos carefully, then such a person would be considered pious. Which means that on the one hand it's very important, and on the other hand apparently it's not so simple. And we know that, you know, sometimes when dealing with the laws of brachas, some of the ideas that come up run counter to what a person's natural inclination is. For example, we have a basic concept in the laws of brachas, which is suffik brachos lahakel, that if a person has a doubt pertaining to a bracha, so a person, the correct thing to do is to be lenient, which means that if a person is, let's say, eating some food, and in the midst of the eating, the person says, "Hey, wait a second, did I say a bracha on this? I don't remember. I was, you know, my mind was elsewhere. I don't recall that I say a bracha." So the natural inclination of every person is, "Well, all right, I'll just say it now." But that's not right. That's not correct. The Gemara says, "Suffik brachos is lahakel." That bracha, the person in a situation like that, a person is supposed to not say a bracha. And the reason for that is because of the fact that on the one hand, the bracha itself, the idea of saying brachos is midrabbanan, right? Because all the brachos that we have, certainly the Birchas Hanenin that we have, are all midrabbanan, with the exception of the Birchas Hamazon, is the only one, perhaps two brachos that have a biblical origin, is the Birchas Hamazon, which is derived from the pasuk Brachalta, Shesavata, Uberachta, Hashem Elokecha, that if you eat and be satiated, you'll bless Hashem. That is universally held to be Daraisa. And then there is a question amongst Rishonim. There are those that say that the Birchas HaTorah, the brachas that are said before a person learns, that we say every morning, are also Midaraisa. That is a question. It's not as clear. That the derivation of that would be from the Pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekro HaVogodol Elokeinu, which is in Parshas Hazinu. But whatever the case may be, the most of the brachas are midrabbanan. So therefore, if a person has a question whether he said a bracha or not, he shouldn't say it. Right? Furthermore, saying a bracha involves the recitation of the Shem Hashem, which is not a small thing. So therefore, if a person is, we don't just say Hashem's name in vain, even though we are authorized to say the Shem Hashem, but it's only when it's called for. If it's not clearly called for, if there's a doubt as to whether it's called for, so then the general rule is that you don't say it. Okay, so therefore, so you know, it always amazes me when you have, in Kriyas HaTorah happens not uncommonly that a person who's laning, the Baal Koreh, stumbles in the middle of a pasuk, you know, it has Hashem's name in it, and you know, he gets flustered, he goes back and repeats Hashem's name unnecessarily, and everyone gets all angry and starts yelling, no, come on, yeah, don't, you know, everyone, you know, get bombarded from all directions, which is, okay, maybe there may be some, you know, truth to that, but if you hold that to be true, then you have to be very careful when you say brachas. You have to be very careful not to repeat Hashem's name. You know, the same person can go and say five unnecessary brachas in a day and have done worse than what this fellow who was laning, who wasn't really, you know, it was sort of by the force of habit that he did it. So you know, there has to be a certain consistency. So the bottom line is that when it comes to brachas, there are, on the one hand, it's very important. On the other hand, the person has to know, is the bracha called for or if it's not? If it's not called for, you don't say it. The inclination of many people, I think the natural inclination is, since it's like a religious experience, so therefore, you know, when in doubt, do it again. You know, why not? But that is not the right thing. Similarly, it is also incorrect for a person to say an unnecessary bracha. In other words, not just to say when he's in doubt, but let's say a bracha is not called for, which commonly happens when eating food, that sometimes there's confusion. Does this item require a bracha? Does it not require a bracha? Sometimes you have mixtures of food, and you have several different brachas that are, you know, several different food items that each one has a separate bracha, and they're all mixed together. And the question is, so what do you do in this situation? Do you say brachas on, so one might think, oh, let's say brachas on all the things. So therefore, if you have a mixture of, let's say, rice and vegetables and some chicken and some dish like that, which involves three separate brachas, mizonos, hadama, shahakol, so, you know, a person might say, well, let's just say all the brachas. But that might not be correct. That, it depends. It depends how it's made. It depends, you know, what the intention of the eater is. So these brachas, these halachas are intricate. You have to know what the right thing to do is. Sometimes you just say one bracha on everything. Sometimes you just say one bracha. You know, there are many people that will tell you, and I think the consensus is that on a bowl of cholent, the person would only say the bracha bar minei mizonos, even though in the chont you also have potatoes, and even though in the chont you also have beans, the kidney beans, and even though in the chont there may be meat, but nevertheless, the bracha on the barley is the only bracha that's said, according to most opinions. Right, but we could all envision how a person could easily not think that. And a person say, well, let's say a bracha on everything, and I'm being very religious by doing that. But that's not so. That's not being religious. That's not being careful, because you have to find out. So on the one hand, a person, when dealing with the laws of brachas, is sort of like a scale. On the one hand, you want to say the bracha, because saying the bracha is an appreciation of the fact that it's coming from Hashem, and in reality, it takes the food out of the domain of gzeila. It makes it that I'm have the right to eat it, like the Gemara says, without saying the bracha, I really don't have the right to eat it. But on the other hand, a person has to balance that out by knowing what's the correct bracha to be said in this situation, and to make sure that I'm not saying a bracha unnecessarily. This is the balance that exists when we deal with the laws of brachas. So with this in mind, we come to the discussion of the brachas. We'll start off with the vegetable soups. Okay, where you have very often a situation, you have vegetables and you have soup, obviously, right? So the question is one bracha, is it two brachas? Do you say the bracha of Hadama on the whole soup? Do you say the bracha Shako on the whole soup? Do you say two separate brachas? What happens if it's chicken soup and you have chicken in there also? Now it's three brachas. You throw in a matzo ball, now you have four brachas. Okay, so the question is, what do you do in these types of situations? What's the right thing to do? So, we'll start off like this. The Gemara tells us, this is on the sheet, the Gemara tells us in the Gemara and Brachas on the Lama test the following. The Gemara says, towards the bottom of the page, it's about 7-8 lines before the lines get wide. Towards the bottom of the page, Amar Rav Papa, the last word on the line is Amar Rav Papa, Pshita Li, Rav Papa said, it is apparent to me, it is simple in my opinion, that Maya de Silka, Kisilka Dami, the lifta kalifta, okay, that the bracha that is said on the soup of silka, of the which I believe are beets, or the bracha that is said on any other cooked vegetable is considered the same bracha that is said on the vegetable itself. Maya the kul shalki to kul shalki, that the bracha that is said on all cooked vegetables is the same bracha that is said on the vegetable itself, which, if taken at face value, would mean that if you drink the soup in which you cook vegetables, the halacha would be the same bracha as on the vegetable itself. You would say the bracha barei pri ha'adama. Okay, even though you'll say, what? But this is a liquid. What kind of thing is that? I always was taught that on liquids you say shakol, but that's not true in this case, because he said that if it's cooked from the vegetable, if it's a result of cooking the vegetable, it takes on the same bracha as the vegetable itself. So says Rav Papa. Now, the problem with this is that, and the Rishonim have raised what appears to be a contradiction from the Gemara on the page before, which is also on the sheet on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says this is about 8 lines from the top. I don't have. Let me just make sure where it is. This is on Daf Lamed. Yeah, about 8 lines from the top, right after the Gemara quotes the pasuk Lechamoni. Right after that, so the Gemara says, "Amar Marbar Avashi, Hai Dubsha the Tamri." Marbar Avashi said that the date, the honey that comes from dates, the honey that comes from dates, Mevarchin Aleh Shakolniya Bidvara. Honey which comes from dates. Now we know that honey comes from two sources. Honey comes from bees, and honey comes from dates. In fact, the date honey is what's mentioned in the Torah, one of the praises of Eretz Yisrael, one of the fruit, Eretz, Deit, Shemen, Udvash, that Eretz Yisrael is the land of olive oil and honey. So what that means is, it's not referring to the honey of bees, but rather the honey of dates, which is why dates are considered one of the Shivas Haminim. Dates are considered one of the seven species, even though if you examine that pasuk, you will see that dates are not mentioned. It's not Chitus, Oreg, Efen, Tein, Rimon. Dates are not in that pasuk. But the vash, and that pasuk refers to date honey. So anyway, so with that in mind, so Mabra Ravashi says that the date honey, on date honey, you say the bracha, a person says the bracha, Shakol Mi'a B'dvara, my taima, what is the reason for that? Now, you, again, why is that surprising? So the reason why we should consider that surprising is because date honey is a product of the date. So if it's a product of the date, you should say the bracha bar prihoi. So says the Gemara, no, you say the bracha shakol mi abidvara. What is the reason? Says the Gemara, zeya ba'almuhu. Zeya ba'almuhu literally translated means it is only sweat. What does that mean? So apparently what that means is that it's not considered the main part of the fruit. It's only considered like a byproduct of the fruit, just like I imagine like the sweat of a person, right? It's just a byproduct. So therefore, on that, you don't say Bari Priya Eif. It's considered independent. You say the bracha, Shakol Mi'a B'dvara. Okay? If you look at Rashi 4 lines from the top here, the Zeya Ba'amahu, the Eino Pri, it is considered Zeya and is not considered the fruit itself, the Baruch Lo Bari Priya Eif. So the Gemara here then proceeds to discuss fruit juices. The Gemara, right away, the Gemara says that this would be following an opinion. Ki aitana tan tavash tamarim v'yein tapuchim v'chomens tefonios v'sharmei peros. The whole discussion, if a person derives benefit from truma, from the fruit juice, of the fruits of truma, whether he has to pay the penalty, etc. So the Gemara, without getting into that, basically what the Gemara proceeds to say, that this law that we just said about the honey of dates applies to all fruit juices. Right? And we know that the person you have right here, you have the orange juice, so the correct bracha on the orange juice is Shakol Mi'a B'dvara, not Bari Priya Eif. Why not? It comes from oranges. It comes directly from oranges. So why don't you say, if you ate the orange, you would say the bracha bar priya. So why don't you say the bracha bar priya on the orange juice or apple juice or, you know, things like that. So the answer is, based on this Gemara, zeya ba'almuhu. It's not considered the real essence of the fruit. Not the essence of the fruit, it's just a byproduct, and therefore you say that it's bracha shakol mi'a b'dvara. Okay, it was an amazing thought, because the orange juice industry is a billion-dollar industry, and you have all different kinds. You go into the store, they all the different types of orange juice. You need a PhD to figure out which, you know, every time my wife puts orange juice on the shopping list, I get nervous because with the pulp, without the pulp, calcium, the little pulp, all the combinations thereof, right? So you know, but nevertheless, the fact is that it's zeya ba'almuhu. Now, the question presents itself that how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? Because you're telling me that the juice of a fruit is not considered the fruit. Yet on the next page, which is the first Gemara that we read, it says that if you cook a vegetable in water, the water of the soup of that vegetable, you say the bracha bar priya adama. So you make up your mind. You're going to tell me that this is the fruit, this is the vegetable, then you should say the bracha of the vegetable. You're going to tell me it's a byproduct, then they should both be a byproduct. Why is there a difference? So, to answer this question, there are several opinions in Rishonim, which we'll see over the course of this year, are going to make a difference. The two main opinions, there's machlokas here between the Rashba and the Rosh. The Rashba says, the Rashba in his commentary in the Gemara and the Talmud Chasam and Aleph says that the reason why there's a difference is because vegetables, generally speaking, are eaten cooked. Now, in general, this may not apply to tomato, let's say, but generally speaking, a lot of the vegetables that we have are primarily eaten when they're cooked, and therefore, when a person planted them, he planted them. The intention was that I'm going to eat them cooked, and thus, cooking is part of the actual basic eating process. Cooking it is considered part of the process of making it edible, and therefore whatever comes out in that process is considered, since that's the way you eat it. So that's part of the basic preparation of this vegetable, and therefore whatever comes from the cooking is considered part of the vegetable itself, because of the fact that that's the way it was supposed to be, that's the way it was intended to be eaten. This is the opinion of the Rashba. Whereas, when it comes to fruit, so oranges, even though you could have a very enjoyable cup of orange juice, but the fact is that oranges are not made for that, they're not planted primarily for that purpose. Fruits in general are planted to be eaten, and they're eaten raw, they're eaten without being cooked. Apples and oranges, yes, you could cook apples, you could bake apples, but the fact of the matter is that the primary way that they're eaten is from, is without any cooking process or without any squeezing process. And therefore, that in itself is the peri. Anything that comes from any other manipulation of the fruit is not considered the primary use of that item. And therefore, that takes on a separate bracha because that's not what it was intended to be. Okay. Whereas with the vegetables, since many vegetables are made to be cooked, so therefore the cooking process is considered integral to the preparation of the vegetable, to the eating of the vegetable, and anything that comes out takes on the bracha bar pri adama. So says the Rashi. Now, this is, as I mentioned, not everyone agrees. So there is a second opinion of Rabbeinu Asher. The Rosh says that his explanation is different. The explanation is because in a cooked food, the taste of the vegetable, let's say you cook a vegetable, a person, let's say, cooks carrots. So when it's cooked in water, the whole taste of the carrot itself, is coming into the water. Whereas, when you drink orange juice, so the orange juice, as good as it is, but that's not the taste of the orange itself. As it just so happens to be that oranges have in them juice. That's the way Hashem made the world, that oranges have juice. And juice is a very enjoyable thing, but because it is simply squeezed and not cooked, so it does not take on, when you cook something, so then you're getting, like we know, other areas of halacha, when you cook something, the entire ta'am is coming out, the entire taste of the item is coming out. So when you cook a vegetable, or the taste of that is coming, the full taste of the vegetable itself is in the water. And therefore, drinking that water is the equivalent of eating the vegetable. Whereas when you're drinking fruit juice, as delicious as it may be, but you're not getting the full taste of the fruit. And therefore, the bracha is separate. That's considered a byproduct. The water of a cooked vegetable is considered like the vegetable itself, but the orange juice is considered a separate item. So says the Rush. Now, just to keep in mind, you'll say, well, what difference does it make whether you say it the first way or the second way? Right? In other words, again, just to summarize, the Rashba will tell you that it has to do with how it's primarily eaten. How it's primarily eaten. Vegetables are primarily eaten through cooking. And on the other hand, fruits are not. So therefore, the vegetable, you know, the cooked vegetables, the bracha is going to be hadama, and if not. And I guess his explanation when the Gemara says zeya ba'alma is that this is that the juice of a fruit is considered a zeya sweat. So that's because it's a byproduct. It's not the main intention of the person who planted it. Whereas, according to the Rush, it's quite different. According to the Rush, when the Gemara says that fruit juice is Zeya Ba'alma, that's because it's not capturing the full flavor of the fruit. The fruit juice has a taste in and of itself, and it may taste similar to the fruit, but you're not getting the full taste of the fruit itself. Whereas when you cook something, that cooking brings out the essence, that brings out the entire taste. So obviously, a difference would come out if you cooked fruit. In other words, let's say you took, right, because the question that we had from the outset was from one Gemara which discusses cooked vegetables versus another Gemara which discusses fruit juice. So, pardon the pun, we're not making a comparison of apples to apples. Okay, this is not exactly the same thing because they're two different issues. One is cooking and one is squeezing. So the playing field might be leveled if you went ahead and cooked the fruit. In other words, if you cook the fruit, in other words, for example, we'll see later, if you make fruit soup, right? A person makes fruit soup, so you take some fruit and you cook it. Okay, and now the taste comes out. So according to the Rashba will say, so what that you cooked it? But that doesn't matter because the main way people eat fruit is not by cooking and making fruit soup. Whereas the Rush will tell you that if you cooked it, Now you got the essence of the taste, more so than if you squeezed it. And therefore, a fruit soup might have the bracha bar priyes, according to the Rosh, whereas according to the Rajba, would have the bracha shakol mi abidvaro. Those are the two opinions.
And what about juicing vegetables?
And conversely, if you juice vegetables, but today we have these wonderful machines that could juice just about anything, okay, so the same thing would come out. You'd have it in the reverse. According to the Rajba, it would come out that, you'd have to get into what you typically do with this, okay? Whereas, according to the Rush, it could come out that the juice of a vegetable would also be shakol. Okay, so this is the Rush versus the Rajba. Now, there is a third opinion, yes.
I've heard that the world is primarily purpose of planting oranges.
It's for orange juice?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, so then it would depend. We'll see. If that's true, then according to the Rashi, you should say Bari Priyes on orange juice. Okay, on the other hand, though, just bear in mind, that's only if you ask him, but if you ask the Rush will tell you, Shachol Mi Abidvaro. So now you have a Machlokas HaRishonim, what bracha you should say in orange juice, right? If somebody here got up and said, Bari Priyes on orange juice, you'd laugh him out of the town. You'd say, what's wrong with you? But on the other hand, not so simple, because if you ask the Rashba, he might tell you, yeah, very good, that's exactly what you should have done.
You get a comical situation where in California, you just say, like, it's in Florida.
Yeah, you can have that too. Depends what kind of oranges. That's right. Okay, so we have to see. In other words, here you're going to have a discrepancy. Now, there is a third opinion. The third opinion of the Mordechai, also one of the Rishonim, Gedaliah Rishonim, the Mordechai makes a different distinction, which we'll see later on, is also the opinion of Tosus in a slightly different application. And that is, in the Mordechai's view, it all depends on, is it a food or is it a beverage? In other words, a soup is eaten as a food. Now, you don't drink soup. You don't put it in a cup and drink it. People eat soup. That's what we call it. Eat soup, which is an interesting thing, because you're eating a liquid. You don't generally call the consumption of a liquid eating. Yet everybody will tell you when you have a bowl of soup that I'm eating the soup. Okay, so in the Mordechai's opinion, that's what makes it a food. And if it's a food, then it has the bracha of the food. Whereas if it's a drink, so then, a drink, you say the bracha shakol mi abidvaro. That's the opinion of the Mordechai. That's not a dominant opinion in this discussion, but just you should be aware. Okay, so this is in general something to keep in mind. So we will see that I guess in a certain sense what you see so far is that in order for the bracha on an item to be the byproduct of the item, to be the bracha of the item itself, at least according to some opinions, you would have to cook it, right? You would have. I mean, not according to some. If by vegetables, if both the Rush and the Rajba and everybody, the Mordechai, they would all agree that if you cook a vegetable, then it would come out l'chora, would come out since the vegetable is made for cooking. Generally speaking, that's the intention of the farmer when it's planted. That's the way it's commonly eaten. So therefore, according to the Rajba, that would give it the bracha bar pri adama. According to the Rush, it would, because it, when the cooking process, it absorbs the taste, so that would give it the bracha bar pri adama. So thus, it should come out that any time a person eats vegetable soup, they should say the bracha bar pri adama. Okay, even on the liquid. And it would seem, if we stopped right here, it would seem that would be the case even if there were no vegetables in it. In other words, even if you prepared vegetable soup, like let's say, for example, tomato soup, which is commonly made that you cook the tomatoes, but you don't eat the tomatoes in the soup, generally speaking. You take out the tomato and you just serve the soup. So what would be the bracha? So the bracha should be Bar Pri Adama. I'll say it's a liquid, what's going on over here. So again, if you ask the Rajba, he'll tell you, well, that's okay, that's because that's the way it's supposed to be eaten. So therefore, the broth that comes with it is part of the cooking process. You say adama. If you ask the Rush, he'll tell you that that's because it absorbed the full taste since you cooked the tomato. So the soup absorbed the full taste of the tomato. So for that reason, you say adama. If you ask the Mordechai, he'll tell you that, well, you're eating it as a food. You don't put it in a cup and drink it. And for that reason, you say bar pri adama. But l'chol adeis, it should come out that on a vegetable soup, you say the bracha bar pri adama. And yet we know this is not true. Yeah, go ahead.
What about tea?
Oh, we're going to get to that. We'll get to tea. We'll get to tea and coffee. Beer. We'll get to that. So now the question is, why not? Now, we know from experience, I would imagine, that a person has a bowl of soup. If a person has a bowl of clear vegetable soup, the bracha that I believe most people would say in that case would be the bracha Shakol Mi'ad Dvaro. Okay, I think that tomatoes would be a perfect example, right? You handed a bowl of soup without any vegetables floating around. It's pure soup, right? And I think the minute most people, and the correct thing, as we'll soon see, would be to say the bracha Shakol Mi'ad Dvaro. The question is, why should that be? So for this, we have to refer back to the first Gemara that we read, which said that the bracha the Gemara in Daf Lamed Tes, the first Gemara, which says that the bracha on all cooked vegetables is the bracha of the vegetable itself. So the question is that always the case or not? So here again, there is the machlokas and the rishonim. There is difference of opinion and how to interpret that Gemara, and this difference of opinion directly results in the way we say brachas today. Okay, so the Rush, once again, Rabbeinu Asher, says that here, when the Gemara said that if you cook a vegetable, it takes on the bracha of the vegetable itself, that is only if the purpose that you cooked the vegetable was to eat the vegetable. In other words, the soup sort of came along for the ride. You have to cook a vegetable, obviously, to cook anything, you have to put it in water. So you're going to cook it in water. So as a result of cooking it in water, the water is going to become flavored by the vegetable. But the fact of the matter is that the reason why I cooked this vegetable was to eat the vegetable. And that's what the Gemara means, that the bracha on the soup is the same as the bracha of the vegetable, because of the fact that my whole purpose here was to prepare the vegetable. I'm cooking the vegetable to eat the vegetable. So even if I also am intending to eat the soup, but the fact of the matter is that I'm cooking this to eat the vegetable, and thus the soup that comes out of it is considered like the vegetable itself. And that's when you say the bracha bar pri adama on a vegetable soup. However, if you were cooking the vegetable only to flavor the water, because the fact is that you're going to take out the vegetable after you finish cooking, such as the case with tomato soup. So when a person makes tomato soup, you cannot claim that I'm doing this to eat the tomato, because at the end of the day, you're not even going to eat the tomato. You're going to take it out, maybe even throw it away, right? Because the tomato is all, you know, squeezed out, whatever. It's not particularly in such an edible form at that point, and it's just discarded. So says the Rush, in that case, then you would, that's not included in what the Gemara was talking about. When the Gemara said the soup of vegetables takes on the broth of the vegetable, the Gemara is talking where the soup came about because you cooked the vegetable to eat it. Along the way, obviously, you got soup because cooking in water is going to result in flavoring the water. So you're going to have, as a result of cooking, let's say, a potato, you're going to have the cooked potato plus the water with the soup, which is flavored by the potato. Then you say the bracha bar pri adama on the soup. However, if you're only doing it to give flavor to the water, only for the soup itself, says the Rush, then it's different than the bracha shakol mi'ad dvaro. That's what he says. Okay, now, the Rambam, on the other hand, seems to have the exact opposite opinion. The Rambam says, and we have it here on the bottom of the sheet, it's a little unclear when you read the Rambam, there's different interpretations of the Rambam, but pretty much the mainstream, the way it's understood in the Gedolei HaPoskim, is as follows. The Rambam says that yirokos shedarkan lishalek, that vegetables that it is the normal manner to cook, sheshalkan, if you went ahead and cooked them, mevarech al mei shelek shelahen barek riha adama. The bracha that is said on the soup that results, the bracha that said is barek riha adama, says the Rambam, v'hu sheshalkan lishtos meimehen. And this is speaking where you cooked the vegetable in order to drink the soup. Shemeimei shlokos kishlokos v'makom shedarkan lishtosa. Because in a place where this is common that people eat this type of the soup, then the flavored souk that comes from cooking the vegetable takes on the bracha of the vegetable itself. It is debatable. You could, if you wanted to, you could make the case that who says that's what the Rambam means. Yeah, that's...
I'll share from my chicken soup.
Look, I got the chicken soup soon. Hang on. But clear, we'll see. But the way the Rambam will get it soon, it's on the list, don't worry. But the way the Rambam seems to be saying it over, is that if you're cooking it for the purpose of having the liquid and having the broth that comes from cooking the vegetable, that's when it takes on the bracha Baruch Pri Adama. However, this is the way many poskim understand the Rambam. However, if you were cooking the vegetable with the intention of eating the vegetable, and the soup just came along as a result, because that is, you know, can't, it's inevitable, you're going to have soup if you're cooking the vegetable in water, but your intention was not for the soup, then you would not say the bracha Baruch Pri Adama on the soup, then you would say the bracha Shakol Ne'ezvar. So it comes out that the Rambam is almost, if understood this way, the Rambam is saying the exact opposite as the Rush. Because the Rush, in his understanding, in his interpretation of the Gemara, is saying that the bracha Baruch Pri Adama is said when you cook the vegetable, to eat the vegetable, and the soup that results from it is considered like part of the vegetable itself, and then you say Baruch Pri Adama. But if you cook the vegetable only to flavor the soup, then you would say Shakol. And the Rambam seems to say exactly the opposite. The Rambam says that no, that if you cooked it for the purpose of drinking the soup, that's when you say the bracha Baruch Pri Adama, because that was the whole intention, to get the flavoring into the soup. Then you say Adama. But if not, you say the bracha Shakol Ne'ezvar.
When you make the soup, you cook the vegetables and then you blend and you make,
You put in other things too, right? True. So obviously they're talking about a simpler type of soup, but nevertheless, in other words, the main thing in the vegetable soup is the cooking of the vegetable. You can't get away from that. That's the main thing. So the question is that in other words, most often in a vegetable soup, a person eats the vegetables as well. Right, in other words, commonly when you serve the vegetable soup, it has pieces of the vegetables in it. Okay. However, you know, theoretically, it doesn't have to be that way. Like we say, tomato soup is not that way. You could have other types of soup. That potato soup, theoretically, you could take out all the potatoes and just have the soup. Right. So now it's really going to depend. It depends if your intention was. You hear you're caught in a bind. In other words, it's an impossible situation because the Rush and the Rambam have opposite opinions. Now, because of the fact that they have opposite opinions, so now the question is, so what do you do? Right? So what do you do? And here, the rule of Suffolk Brachos L'Hakel kicks in the following manner. The rule of Suffolk Brachos L'Hakel, which is that when in doubt, you know, we're lenient when it comes to brachos, so commonly applies in such a manner that if you're not sure if you said a bracha or not, you don't repeat it. If the person thinks they may have said it, you don't repeat it. If there's a question, sometimes you have a situation where you're not sure if you need to say a bracha. You know, it happens a lot of times with Tfilas HaDerech, where we once spoke about the different opinions when Tfilas HaDerech is mandated. You know, a person's traveling, do you have to say in this situation, do you have to say in that situation? The modern day Shilas, you know, the original, we spoke about this one several years ago, that the original institution of Tfilas HaDerech was said because of bandits. That a person was afraid that he was going to be attacked when he was traveling. They didn't have, like we have today, you know, roads, interstate highways, interstate police. So the person was literally taking his life into his hands, traveling from one place to the other. Today, that's not the consideration so much, and not in civilized parts of the world, right? However, you have a new type of consideration. You have the fact that with the mode of travel is dangerous. The person goes in a car itself, very dangerous thing. Chas v'shalom, something could go wrong, all kinds of things. So the question is that where you say Tfilas HaDerech or not? This came up with airplanes originally, right? When the question was, do you say Tfilas HaDerech on an airplane, right? So years ago, I mentioned this one several years ago, of Soloveitchik, who I saw used to travel every week from Boston to New York to deliver a shiurim. So he was a common flyer. So he never said Tfilas HaDerech on the plane. So they asked him, why not? So he said, and this is pre-9/11, he said that, I'm not afraid anyone's going to rob me on the plane. I'm sitting on the plane. Now, well, who's going to rob me? Nobody. That never, ever happened. Right? So now you'll say, what do you mean? But aren't you worried about a plane, a mishap on a plane? So the answer is, but that's not why they made Tfilas HaDerech. On the other hand, people will say, come on, if that's why they made Tfilas HaDerech, then surely today, so the situation changed. So there are those people that would tell you that, well, you don't know who to listen to. Some people say yes, some people say no, right? So in that situation, you don't say a bracha. You don't say a bracha. That's the common stuff with brachas l'hakel. If you're right there, you're not sure if a bracha is called for, so you don't say a bracha. However, there is another application of that concept, and that is when you have a generic bracha versus a specific bracha, and you're not sure which one to say, so suffic brachas l'hakel says that you say the generic bracha. And therefore, the bracha shakomia b'dvaro, which would cover just about anything, right, the dievet, you're supposed to always try to say the proper bracha on whatever it is that you're eating or drinking, but nevertheless, shakomia b'dvaro is pretty much one size fits all. So therefore, if it's a question, should you say baruch yadamo, or should you say shakomia b'dvaro, in a doubt, you would say the bracha shakomia b'dvaro. Okay? So therefore, it would come out, based on this, that if you have a soup, let's say tomato soup, okay, common case, tomato soup generally is served without the pieces of tomato floating around. So what bracha do you say on that? So clearly it would depend. Potentially, yes, right? If you lived back in the day, if your rav was the rush, and you called him up, and he would tell you that in such a case, you say the bracha shakol me'ev edvaro, because you're not eating the vegetable at all. On the other hand, if you asked the Rambam, he would tell you that you should say Baruch Priya Adama. So since we're in doubt, so the halacha is that we say the bracha shakonia devaro. Because this is an application of suffic brachas l'hakil. Okay? So that's what comes out. Therefore, if a person is eating clear vegetable soup, okay, meaning vegetables were cooked in it, but for whatever reason it's being served without the vegetables, or with only a minimal amount of vegetables, right, or maybe just some dill weed or whatever is thrown in there just to give flavor to it. So here you're getting into the question. On the one hand, it's flavoring it. On the other hand, you're not doing this to eat the vegetable. The bracha would be shakol mi'ev edvaro. Okay, that would be the bracha.
Chicken soup.
So we're getting to the chicken soup. Hang in there. They're almost there. Okay. Now it happens to be that there is that now if there are vegetables. Now what about if there are vegetables in the soup? So if there are vegetables in the soup, but the main purpose of cooking the vegetables was to have the soup. In other words, a good vegetable soup might have been made because the rich flavor of the vegetables makes for a very delicious soup. But it happens to be that we leave the vegetables in also because the vegetables also add to it. It's also nice to eat. But the main intention was for the soup. So there you can make the argument that you have the same situation. If you ask the rush. So the rush will again will be opposed to this because we'll say, well, again, you really the main intention was for the soup and not for the vegetables per se, right? But here it's a little bit less clear. And also in this type of situation, we have to factor in another concept in brachos, which is the concept of ikar v'tafel. That if you have two things together, if you have a mixture of two items, and the question is, what bracha do you say? So you say the bracha on that which is considered halakhically primary. Okay? So it could be that if you have a lot of vegetables in the soup, and you're eating the vegetables in and of themselves, so that in itself constitutes an ikar. In other words, even if primarily the vegetables were put in there to cook, to flavor the soup, but it happens to be that I enjoy eating the vegetables too, and there are a lot of vegetables in the soup, so then in that situation, the vegetables in and of themselves would call for a bracha baruch priya adama, because you could not say that it's totally secondary to the soup, because there are a lot of vegetables in there. So regardless of what the intention of the person who made the soup was, the fact is that there are a lot of vegetables in the soup that you're going to be eating, so much so that you couldn't really say that it's negated. So therefore, it would come out that if a person has a vegetable soup with a lot of vegetables in it, the only bracha that you would say would be the bracha baruch priya adama, because first of all, it could very well be in and of itself you should say the bracha baruch priya adama. But even if not, if there's a significant amount of vegetables in it, he could not really be deemed to be tuchel to the soup. You couldn't say it's secondary to the soup because there's so many vegetables in there. So that also factors into the discussion. So therefore, in that situation, you would have to say the bracha bari pri adama. Now, getting to the chicken soup, and then Rabbi, getting to the chicken soup. So now let's say without the chicken for a minute. Okay, we'll get the chicken presents a challenge, which we'll soon see. But let's just say for a minute you didn't have chicken, you had some artificial chazarite, it's ruined, right? So to make it the taste of chicken, right? Some laboratory came up with a great taste of chicken that gets thrown into the soup. Okay, so you have here your bowl of soup, and it's essentially clear soup, but there also happen to be large pieces of vegetables in it. Okay, you have carrots in there, you have maybe celery, parsnip, all kinds of things in there, right? So now the question is, what bracha do you say on that? So in that situation, we'll see that the truth of the matter is the fact it's easier to understand this in a case where there's chicken in it. So maybe I should hold off. But we're going to have to call time out and come back to this in a minute because it's going to depend on the chicken. I'm sorry, Rabbi. Yeah. If you take vegetables and blend them up, so then already that's a little harder. The bracha of the smoothie, I don't know, you know, that type of thing is so what would we say based on this? So we would say if it's the taste of the vegetable, but you didn't cook it, right? You didn't cook it, so it didn't transfer.
Like potato soup, where you cook it.
If what? Oh, you cooked it then? Then you cooked it? Then it should be the same thing? Should be the puree. Then should be the same thing?
It's really a difference between soup and broth.
Right. Right. That's right. In other words, if it's cooked, and the intention was to eat the vegetables. On the other hand, though, you'll say in this example where it's pureed, so you weren't intending to eat the vegetables because at the end of the day, I don't know.
You are.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe say Baruch Hashem. What do people say on such a thing? Okay, check it out. Yeah, check it out. Okay, I don't want to say for sure. I'm not sure. All right. So now there is one further catch to this, and that is that if you look here on the second page in Simon Reish Hei, this base, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Alamayim shebishlu behem yirokos, on water in which vegetables were cooked, mevarech habracha atzma shemevarech al yirokos atzma." So this is pretty much right the opinion of the rush, which is that on if you cook vegetables, and it seems that we'll see in a minute. If you cook vegetables, so you say the bracha that you say on the vegetable itself, afopi she'ain b'hem al tamirek. Excuse me, it's not the rush; it's the opinion of the Rambam, right? That even though it only has the flavor of the vegetable, the vegetable is not in it. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch's understanding of the Rambam is on such a thing. You say the bracha bari pri adama. So he says, Vahani Mili, now this is a very important thing. Vahani Mili kishabishlam below basar. This is true if you cook the vegetables in the soup without meat. Abal bishlam in basar, but if you cooked it with meat, mevarech alav shakol. Says the Shulchan Aruch, then you say the bracha shakol miyadivar. Now why is that? So the reason for that is, apparently the way Mishpur explains it, the way the postum understand it, is because when you cook it with meat or chicken soup, when you cook it with chicken, the dominant taste is chicken. The primary taste is the chicken. And if that's the primary taste, then that makes it that you have to say shakol on the soup. So therefore, on a bowl of chicken soup, if you have vegetables floating around, okay, so for sure you have to say the bracha shakol niyadibar, even if there are no pieces of chicken floating around. In other words, even if a person made chicken soup in like, you know, the old minute, they would take out the chicken from the soup perhaps and serve it separately. Right? They would serve the soup separately and just leave the clear broth. Nevertheless, you would say the bracha shakol miyadivar because the dominant taste in the soup is the taste of the chicken. Now what happens if in the chicken soup you have, now going back to the example I gave a minute ago, what happens if you have vegetables, you have carrots, you have other things? So it depends. if it's a minimal amount, if it's a minimal amount of vegetables that are just sort of, you know, floating around in the soup, then the bracha on the soup would only be shakol ne'abedvaro, because the vegetables that are in there are not considered significant enough. It would be considered tuffel. It would be considered tuffel to the soup. And now even you'll say, but what happens if I eat them? But I'm eating them along with it. It doesn't really matter because of the fact that it's a secondary thing, and the bracha would be shakol. However, if there are large pieces of vegetable in the soup, so then you would have to say on the vegetables, you would have to say the bracha bar pri adama, simply because, even if you'll say, well, what do you mean? But I put in the vegetables to flavor the soup, and according to the Rambam, that would say that the bracha on the soup is shakol. That may be true. However, there's another consideration here. We're not just discussing the bracha on the soup, now we're discussing the bracha on the vegetable. The bracha on the vegetable would be governed by the laws of ikar v'tafel, would be governed by the decision that has to be made. What's primary, what's secondary? When you have large pieces of vegetables in a soup, you can't really consider them secondary. If it's small pieces, so then you could say, well, it's secondary and it's only put in there to flavor it. But if you have large pieces, even though it's true that it may also have only been put in there to flavor it, and therefore on the soup itself, you may have had it not been chicken, it may have been a good shiloh. What bracha do you say on that soup? You say adama shakol, but at the end of the day, you can say shakol on the soup because it's chicken soup. And if you eat the vegetables, that in and of themselves, even if you don't have to pull them out, certainly if you pull it out of the soup, but even if you're eating it in the soup, but it's a large piece of vegetable, you could not really say that's tuffle, and you would have to say the bracha bar pri adama on such a thing also. Okay, so that's pretty much the way it stacks up with chicken soup. Now, if you put in croutons, you'd perhaps say mizonos on the croutons, because of the fact that mizonos, again, in the wars of ikar v'tuffel, mizonos is not, ever, generally speaking, from the five grains, not considered secondary, right? So you'd have to say bracha on that as well. So therefore, sometimes you could have a bowl of chicken soup where it's very easy, and just the bracha shakol. Other times, you might have to make at least one other bracha. And now we could appreciate why you have chicken soup as part of the Friday night meal, because since you had bread at the beginning, you don't have any questions because all the brachas are covered. So therefore, the Klal Yisrael, in its collective infinite wisdom, came up with a system that you avoid, right? When is the main time to eat chicken soup? And then the Friday night dinner, the Friday night Shabbos meal. So then you had already challah, so you don't have any of these shilas. But if you're getting the Sunday night leftovers, right, it's not that that ever happens, but if such a thing came up, so now you're not eating bread, so now you have to make a decision what broth are you going to make. Okay, just to finish up quickly, as far as it was asked before about tea and coffee, okay, so tea and coffee would really get into the same question, because you're cooking the coffee, the coffee grinds or the tea leaves in order to get the resulting liquid, right? In other words, that there's no, you take out the tea. You don't drink the coffee, the tea with the tea leaves floating around, or the coffee with the coffee element in there. It's all taken out. So here you would have a shaila. Again, this would depend if you ask the Rambam. So it sounds like the Rambam's opinion would be that you should say the bracha bar priyeh on those things. Or I don't know, beans, maybe you say hazam, I don't know how it grows, but you would not say shakol on a cup of coffee. Okay, however, according to the Rosh, the opinion of the Rosh, you would have to say it, because you're not cooking it for the purpose of the tea leaves themselves. You're not going to eat the tea leaves, and you're not going to drink the coffee beans or the coffee grind. So therefore, you're not going to eat that stuff. So therefore, in his opinion, you should say shakol. Now, on top of that, let's just remember, there was the third opinion that we didn't pay so much attention to, but now it's going to play a role. The third opinion, which says that if something is a beverage, if you drink it, not eat it, if you drink it, then you say the bracha shakol, because it's a drink. So based on the combination of those two factors, you have the opinion of the Rosh, who says that anyway you're not eating the tea leaves or the coffee beans, and on top of that you have the opinion that says that something that you drink as a beverage is considered a drink and always has the bracha shakol. So therefore it comes out that on tea and on coffee and on beer and on whiskey, all of these things, even though they involve cooking on somewhere along the line, cooking the elements, and you could argue that maybe on beer you should say the bracha bar minyan mezonos, right? But nevertheless, the bracha that is said is shakol mi hadvaro for the reasons that we mentioned. Okay, so therefore, to summarize, tomato soup, you would say the bracha shakol, because since you got rid of the tomatoes and you're all eating the soup. On vegetable soup, if there were, on vegetable soup, it would really depend, right, on the situation, but typically in vegetable soup where the vegetables are in there, there is no question that you would say the bracha bar kri hadam on the entire soup. You would say you don't have to make a separate bracha on the soup itself. It's all, you say one bracha bar kri hadam and that's it, right? To say shatol in that situation would be an unnecessary bracha, would be considered a bracha of atola, no reason to say it, right? On chicken soup, you would say the bracha on the chicken, okay, if there are vegetables, and therefore the bracha would be shakol. If there are vegetables in there, you might have to say a bracha separately on the vegetables. If you have mushroom barley soup, okay, mushroom barley soup, the bracha would be mizonos on that soup because of the fact that barley is the bracha mizonos, and mushroom barley soup, as far as I've seen, is always served with the barley in it. So therefore, you're cooking the barley to eat the barley as well, and therefore the bracha would be mizonos. So thus we see that, you know, maybe Esav, you know, the fact that he didn't make a bracha was not because he had no Yerushalayim, but he wasn't sure what the bracha was. Right, when I went to yeshiva, that's the way they used to teach. They would teach Vayochal, Vayesh, Vayochal, Vayelach, Vayochal, he sat down to eat, and he didn't put on a yarmulke. Vayesh, he sat there and he drank, he didn't make a bracha. Vayochal, he got up, he didn't bench, Vayelach, and he went out without kissing the mezuzah. That's the way I was taught in elementary school. Right, that's the old European tradition, that's the way they would interpret that. That pasuk. But if Esav did not say a bracha, in a certain sense, it would have been confusing, except that we can't exonerate him because Yaakov was sitting there, so you should have asked him the shaila. Okay, so the fact is you could have on soups, you could have the whole range, you could have shakol, hadama, mizonos. It really, you have to know what you're eating, and you have to give pause for a second before you start to eat it to say the right bracha. Just to conclude, when it comes to fruit soup, this is the last thing we'll end on this. To hear again, if you remember from the beginning, fruit soup is also a potentially a nightmare because of the fact that here you get into the question that you cook the fruits. So the whole reason that orange juice, you say, shakol, is because, one opinion is because of the fact that you're not capturing the essence of the orange. It's just a byproduct of the orange. You're not getting the full taste, only when you cook it. But if you have fruit soup, you did cook it. So does that make it that the bracha should be bar kri? So the answer is, it's generally irrelevant because of the fact that in most fruit soups, the fruit is in there. And the fruit that's in the fruit soup is dominant. Right, it's ikar, and therefore the bracha on fruit soup, generally speaking, would be the bracha bar kriyei. However, if the fruit was taken out, and you just had the soup, and especially if you can put it in the cup and drink it, but even if not, then the bracha would be shakol, because of the reason that we mentioned. That pretty much sums it up, and hopefully with this we have a little greater clarity in the brachas that we make. Yes.